Pullman National Monument in Chicago, Illinois, with your host, Dr. Lynn Hughes.
We welcome you to Live from the Pullman National Monument, our global cast magazine format talk radio show, where we discuss all things culturally economic development, i.e. tourism. And we hold informative conversations on the arts, music, business, and people. I'm your host, Dr. Lynn Hughes, founder of the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum, a National Park Service site in Chicago, Illinois. Good day to you, my listening audience, and we thank you for joining us. Stay with us. Well, welcome everyone to Live from the Pullman National Monument. Welcome to another show. And today is going to be a fantastic show. Interesting, and maybe a little deviation from what we normally do. But nonetheless, it's going to be a great show. At the top, I want to say our co-host today is Mr. David A. Peterson Jr., who is the president of the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum. So welcome him, ladies and gentlemen, members of the audience. Hello, Mr. Peterson.
Good afternoon. Well, good evening. Happy New Year, and thanks for having me once again.
Oh, you are most welcome. We love having you on. We need fresh, fresh blood in this era. I wanted to say that this is our first show of 2017, and I want to say that this year is an exciting one. Lots of things are planned. We may be doing a few new things, but first I want to say that this year we are having several anniversaries. We are coming up on the ending of President Barack Obama's tenure in the White House. And we are coming up on our second anniversary of the designation of the Pullman National Monument that President Barack Obama did in February of 2015. We are just ending the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service. And most important for us, we are celebrating the 22nd anniversary of the founding of the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum. So we have lots to be grateful for, lots to celebrate, and we're going to kick it off this year in high gear, celebrating all of those things. So now that I've given you the agenda, I also want to say that this is the part of the show that we have established every show, where we come on and we talk about the Pullman National Monument. What is the Pullman National Monument? Well, the Pullman National Monument is a unit of the National Park Service. The National Park Service has parks and monuments and all kinds of things under that umbrella. We happen to be designated as a national monument. And the national the type of national monument that we are is just a little bit different. We are referred to as a thematic district. And so the themes of the Pullman National Monument are several, but the main two are labor and architecture, architectural history. Pullman, the town of Pullman, as it was built in the 1880s, is pretty much still intact. But time has made some changes, but it's pretty much intact. And so those are the two main themes under the Pullman National Monument. And the themes also include labor rights and civil rights. And so those are basically the three areas of distinction for those individuals who are traveling and want to come to Pullman to see what we're all about. There's a lot that has happened over the past year. We now also have, we're celebrating, everybody's very excited because we have been appointed or given our first full-time park superintendent. Her name is Ranger Kathy Snyder, and she actually was on the show last year, I think around November, and we are certainly happy to see her, happy that she is here to sort of direct the activities of what's going on, because you need the park superintendent. I guess the park superintendent would be like the president or the general manager of a corporation, and so that will be her major function. She is at the top of the chain. And so for the National Monument, that is the starting point. The Pullman National Monument is very interesting. It's unique in that it has a little bit of something for everyone. There are places to see in terms of tourist sites. We have the Greenstone Church. We have the Historic Pullman Foundation that operates annual house tours. We have a new addition, the Pullman Cafe, where we have the ability for visitors to come in and sit down and enjoy a meal. We have the Greenstone Church. Now, those of you who are listening may remember that I mentioned about the Greenstone Church before, and that it has some particular distinction. And I had not done my homework when I mentioned that, but I have since done that so that I could provide you, the listening audience, with some statistics. What makes the Greenstone Church unique is that the exterior facade is of serpentine stone that was quarried in Pennsylvania. The sanctuary is unchanged with the exception of what they call chancel arrangements. All of the cherry wood that compromises the altar and the pews are all original. And as it was manufactured and created by a company called Steer and Turner, and they have something in, what makes the Greenstone Church unique is in addition to the stone, it has something called a manual tracker pipe organ. And what makes that different is that it is, the Steer and Turner company built this tracker organ under the label of Opus number 170, and it is one of the few manual tracker organs remaining in the United States. So that's the distinction of the Greenstone Church, and as I understand it, people who play an organ are marveled when they come, when they have an opportunity to come and play this organ. I think it's physically challenging for them, but emotionally and talently rewarding for them to do so. So, we've told you about the Greenstone Church. We've told you about the Historic Pullman Foundation. We've told you about the National Park Service. Oh, that is really important because in addition to having the first full-time park superintendent, the National Park Service, who has since the designation, has shared space with the Historic Pullman Foundation, but they are now, through generous contributions from several people, they now have the funds to do what is called the build out, so that they then can now build out their own space and have their own offices in what is called the Pullman Factory, which is another site that one can see when they come to Pullman. And so the National Park Service, it is said that it will be completed by 2018, and we're all very excited about that, to have that as a focal point, because people who come to Pullman from all over the world to visit, it's something about Pullman that makes people want to, international tourists come from all over the world, I kid you not, to see, to visit Pullman. And of course, we're very pleased because even though we were not included in the wave of the strike that it occurred in 1894, I believe it was. Is that right, Mr. Peterson?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you are.
Okay, so one of the things, and I'm going off on a tangent here, but I want to make sure that I give you this information because there's always inaccurate information that is exchanged. So when people make reference to the Pullman Porters, they always sort of lump them into one basket and say that they were part of the 1894 strike, and that is inaccurate. The 1894 strike in Pullman was a direct result of the factory workers who were very incensed that they, the Pullman Company, who owned the town and who also rented the housing that the workers lived in, went up on the housing and then went down on their wages, and that was not going to get it. So they went on strike because of the unfair labor practices. However, African Americans were not included in that strike. That strike of the African American Railroad employee did not occur until the 1920s. So that's a little bit of housekeeping and a little bit of information given to you. So I think I've done my history. We always like to start off with that description, and then we talk a little bit about tourism because that's what this show is all about. So, Mr. Peterson, now that I've taken up a substantial amount of time talking about that, so you come on, why don't you jump in and say welcome to everybody? And if you have information, statistical information, or anything that you want to share on the tourism arena, please be my guest and go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. Well, once again, thanks for having me. And just to jump right in, you know, tourism is a major epidemic going on in the city right now. You know, in 2011, Mayor Rahm Emanuel set a goal to have 55 million new visitors coming through the city by 2020. So as the year just closed out and we start the new year, there's been a new record set. There's been 54 million visitors last year, setting a new record for Chicago tourism in the city of Chicago. And that's up 3% from 2015. So we're really excited about that because, you know, the goal was to have 55 by 2020, and we're already pretty much at that goal by 2015. So we'll exceed that goal by 2020. So this says a lot for, you know, what's going on in the city of Chicago, and that will directly impact what's going on in the monument. We already have a study saying that we were anticipating an extra 300,000 extra visitors coming through the Pullman National Monument once, you know, within the next 10 years after the park has officially opened. So, you know, with these numbers, we're sure that we'll do those numbers and exceed those as well. In addition to that, you know, as a result of this, we've had about 20,000 new jobs created in the hospitality industry as a direct result of the new tourism coming in. So, you know, that's a huge step in the right direction for the city of Chicago. But what it also does is it piques our attention and pretty much shows us that there's a new trend for job creation in the tourism and hospitality industry. And that's a good thing because, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, tourism's good, you know, but, you know, it's not going to affect me. Most blacks feel that way. However, you know, there are lots of jobs that are available for black people, minority people, low-income people, very low-income people, but they're in the tourism and hospitality industry, which is not necessarily always glamorized, but they're very, very prestigious and a lot of different jobs that people can be proud of in the tourism and hospitality industry. So, you know, with $15 billion in direct spending coming from the new tourism coming in from last year alone, that's basically an indicator that this is the new trend because from 2013 on up, there's been a consistent incline of visitors coming to the city of Chicago.
Well, that increase has a major impact on everything and everybody. You know, sometimes I have frequently said on this show that tourism is the last bastion of economic development, and in this case, cultural economic development, because that's what it is, that people can take advantage of, but people have not been educated, and not just the people of color, but people in general have not been educated about the impact of tourism, the benefits of tourism, because most Americans think of tourism as major sites like Disney World. In Chicago, they think about the Navy Pier or the Bean. But there are those supporting businesses that can have the ability to create, can and do create jobs for those people who may not have college degrees. And then, but there is that, but there are also openings for people who do have college degrees, who have not anticipated or looked at the hospitality industry, because that's what it is. But, and so we try to advocate for people in general to take a closer look at employment under the hospitality. And the unique thing about the hospitality, i.e. tourism, is that it may not necessarily be something that will jump out at you, but it also creates an enormous opportunity for people to be entrepreneurs and start their own businesses in every area. It could be restaurants, gift shops, tour novelty shops, that kind of thing. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I don't know. I just hope that as we continue to talk about tourism and continue to talk about the opportunities that are available in tourism, that people will catch it. Because there are opportunities not only for mature individuals, but there are opportunities for young people. There are opportunities for millennials. There are opportunities for youth, all under the banner of tourism. But no one's going to come and bring it and drop it in your lap. You have to go and look for it. And so I hope that as we provide information, that people will take the initiative to just to go search on their own. And with reference to the Pullman National Monument, I really do hope that people catch it, because it's prime opportunity for business development and all in the hospitality area that will not only help those folks who are developing those businesses, but also the people who live in the area, and the people who are generating or developing those businesses.
And you know, as the great quote says, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. So, you know, it is our duty, being the people that know this information, to be more proactive and take a leadership role. Because, you know, although while it's our intent for people to just catch it, as you might say, a lot of people won't catch it because they're not informed. So it's our duty to inform them. So that's why we have mechanisms in the monument like Randolph Stream Community Development Corporation, which fosters cultural economic development within the monument and throughout the city. You know, and that's why we take a more proactive approach in creating environments where people can learn about these options and opportunities within the industry of tourism, specifically in the Pullman National Monument. So we take great pride in, you know, having access to this information, and we don't take it lightly, and that's why we do everything we can to get this information out to the general public via our social media pages, via different panel discussions, symposiums that we host, events, workshops, you name it, you know what I mean? And that's why these things are so important, because we have to be, you know, forthcoming and making sure that people know about this. So other outlets like the Pullman Messenger Magazine, you know, these things are important because they give us an opportunity to inform people on what's going on and the opportunities. A lot of people don't know that a lot of these resources are right under their nose and they can take advantage of them. So that's what we intend to do. Even with the new wave of cultural economic development coming through the Jackson Park area with the Obama Library coming, you know, these types of things are going to create an entire paradigm shift in the city of Chicago, specifically on the southeast side in the Millennium Reserve region, which is the South Lakefront Region Development, from McCormick Place on out to LaPorte County, Indiana. You know, all of this lakefront development piece is going on, and this is basically the stage for tourism to take place in the city of Chicago beyond downtown. So with that, you know, there are a lot of different innovative programs and events that we'll be spearheading this year, and we're really excited to be able to provide that platform in the monument.
Well, I'm very happy that you share that kind of information, because it is important. It is important. And as you said, we have an obligation to share that information as much as we can and in every opportunity that we can. I think that, you know, the Pullman National Monument is new. It's still new. We're coming up on our second birthday, which will be February the 15th, but still, it's still new, because people are still trying to wrap their head around what is the Pullman National Monument. And I've said this before, people think it's one building, the factory building, but it is not. But people in general, not just in the monument, but in the city of Chicago, have not yet grasped the concept of tourism and what that can and will mean, not just for the Pullman National Monument, but for the city of Chicago. And as I indicated, we have had a dramatic increase in international visitorship. So people in other countries are aware of tourism and are aware of the possibilities that are available at the Pullman National Monument. And they're interested and intrigued by the history that is there, the multi-layered history that is there. And so other folks are understanding and what tourism means. And so you hit the nail on the head: to whom much is given, much is required. And so even though we may not feel like we need to go there and provide that information, we really have no choice. We really have no choice, and so we have an obligation to do it.
Absolutely. So at the museum, you know, we have strategically positioned ourselves as somewhat of the governing body for this whole concept, you know, of cultural economic development, cultural policy, urban culturalism, everything culture, you know, because we believe that culture is the cure. And that's why we champion for that. So, you know, as far as youth is concerned, you know, we're introducing the youth to this concept through our youth and young adult division, Museum 44, where hip-hop meets history. And the 44 is symbolic of the 44th president. We decided to name the program after the 44th president, because he changed the lens in which, you know, the general public might see African-American males. We decided to do that in 2009, and we were very excited and proud about that. So you know, with that, we have had an opportunity and a blessing to become a partner with After School Matters program, which provides youth jobs for youth between the ages of 14 and 18. So, you know, we basically opened our doors at the museum to teach children about history, heritage, and culture, and how they might be able to create products and deliverables under this whole umbrella of tourism and culture. And with that, they're being paid to do that. So that is our entrance into cultural economic development, beyond just educating, empowering economically by giving these kids a check and giving them a safe place and environment to come and learn, you know, and making it innovative and pretty much putting them in the driver's seat. You know, most programs might be somewhat of a bus ride. You know, we want to give these kids an opportunity to use this thing like a motorcycle ride, where they're in charge and they control their own destiny. So, you know, that's at the bottom line of it. You know, then as we move up to the adults and the family, you know, that's where Randolph's Dream comes in. So now we'll be focusing on customer service. You know, there are a lot of different businesses in the community that have the potential to be successful, but they lack customer service. So it's not enough to just give someone a job if they don't understand the importance of what they're doing. You know, there's a certain level of etiquette that you have to have in order to deal with the people that come through the monument, because we service an international body of people. So, you know, when we have people coming from Great Britain, we have people coming from China, we have people coming from Japan, you know, all around the world, they need to be greeted with a certain level of etiquette and a certain level of respect, which welcomes
and professionalism.
And professionalism, which basically makes them feel comfortable. So we're excited about that. And then beyond that, you know, for our young entrepreneurs, it's already said through statistics that most businesses fail within the first 1 to 5 years. So, you know, we want to make sure that we arm them with the resources and the access to resources to empower them so that they won't fail, you know, so that they will know the concepts that they need in order to implement a successful business, so that they can, you know, to be a 22-year cultural institution or a 22-year business. And we're really excited about that.
Well, I think this is perfect timing. You took the conversation right to the point where that would open up the door for our next segment. And we're going to take a quick break and come back with our guests, our first guest on Around the Museum Table, and continue this line of conversation. Stay with us.
Visit the BowmanBordermuseum.com, where you can purchase an annual membership at the level of your choice. And, of course, visit our website here to find out more about the show live from the Pullman National Monument at bbsradio.com/live from PNM to contact us.
Today's show is brought to you by the Pullman Messenger Magazine and Hughes Peterson Publishing, partially underwritten by United Auto Workers, Local 551, and the Chicago Neighborhood Initiative.
Port Hughes Peterson Publishing by visiting thepullmanmessenger.com. And purchase an annual subscription. It's just $12 a year. Or purchase an Anthology of Respect by Dr. Lynn Hughes, available on Amazon.com.
Well, welcome back, everyone. And we are happy to bring to you our segment labeled Around the Museum Table. And this segment of our show is where we bring guests to talk about different things that are happening at their museum. And in this case, this week, we are highlighting the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum in the Pullman National Monument, and their president, Mr. David Peterson, and his guest, Ms. Selena Cobb Collins, who is the director of Ancestry Moon Art Studios. And we're going to talk about that collaboration and what we're going to do, what we're doing with that, and our plans for that, because we at the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum have followed the lead of the past president, Fourth Bell, of the American Institute of American Association of Museums, who charged individuals who are with museums that we need to go outside of the walls, because today museums professionals and museums are asked to do more with less and do programs and establish programs that will engage the community. And this particular program that we have engaged with Ancestry Moon's Art Studio is just the perfect example, I believe, and I believe Mr. Bell would be very proud of us. So, Ms. Cobb, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Hughes. It's my pleasure for inviting me on. If I am the founder of Ancestry Moon Art Studio, we are on 103rd and Western, and the gallery and studio came about just from years of having students work under me and teaching them how to tap into their selves. Many come to me not knowing how to create or even where to begin. And so my students tap into their personal history, and find themselves creating works of art that connects to people. Most of their art tells a story of their journey past and is to come. The moon in itself represents our personal thumbprint. It is our deeper emotional self where secrets and desires live. It's putting our experiences on canvas and sharing it with the world. I decided to open the studio and develop this very personal art gallery where local Southside Chicago artists can come and be a part of the art community and display their work. I provide art instruction for all ages, 7 and up. It's an intimate studio to gather, to develop skills, learn new techniques, be a part of a critique session, learn the business of art, and tap into a little art history while you're there. Many find themselves at home here at Ancestry Moon, and they end up reserving the studios for art parties. Many of my students come from all walks of life. They're retired professionals. They're young adults looking for a therapeutic outlet. They're little hands that want to explore. And homeschoolers that are looking for art enrichment components. So you need not know how to paint. You just come as you are. And once you're a part of Ancestry Moon family, you will be a part of our many festivals that we're a part of yearly, exhibits, art competitions, and field trips that we do together. So give me a call or stop on by. Anybody can reach me at 312-956-5965. And we're located right on Western at 10338 Western Avenue.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm happy that you gave that overview so that our listeners will know who you are, where you are, and what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I have to say that I am very, very excited, and I'm going to just step back after I say this and let Mr. Peterson delve into the conversation with you. But I want to say at the outset and to let you know and the public know that we are very excited about collaborating with you, and we are honored to be able to host an exhibit from your studios. And so I'm very excited about that. I think that people don't know what's right in their own backyard. And right. It takes someone outside of the community to recognize or appreciate what you do. And in that recognition, then people at home then began to give you the recognition and respect that you so deserve. So, Mr. Peterson, why don't you and Ms. Cobb talk about the upcoming event?
Okay, absolutely. Well, we're excited to, you know, open the doors of the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter for Ancestry Moon Studios. We're really excited. You can actually go on the Pullman Porter Museum Facebook page to RSVP for the event. Or go to Eventbrite, cultureisthecure.eventbrite.com. Once again, that's cultureisthecure.eventbrite.com to RSVP. So, you know, we'll start off with our launching event on the 28th, and then after that it'll be open for 2 weeks. So, you know, we're excited about that because it'll give us an opportunity to showcase some of the great works of art that they have. And, you know, I'm very impressed with some of the art that I've seen so far, and we're just excited to provide a platform for them to showcase this art.
So, Ms. Cobb, you want to talk a bit about the exhibition? We didn't give the date. So the opening reception for the exhibition is January the 28th. That's 4 to 8 p.m. But the exhibit itself will be in residence for 2 weeks. And so we're very excited about it. And so I just want to make sure that people know who, what, when, where, and why. And so as you talk about it at the end, you want to make sure that you provide the dates and the times for the art exhibition.
Yes. Yeah, so the opening is January 28th, and it's from 4 to 8 p.m. And it will be open to the public for the first 3 weeks of January into February. So that would be January 30th, 31st, and the 1st of February. And the second week will be February 9th, 10th, and the 11th from 5 to 8 p.m. I believe it's noon to 7 on the first 3 days of the week. But the collection in itself is we're excited about. We've created work based off of the Pullman area, and just these artists are coming from the Ninth Ward. Many of us reside in the Pullman area. My artists come from all walks of life. They're retired professionals. They have painted with me for 4 years, and the tapping in to that they've done is phenomenal, and I can't wait to show off their thumbprint to the world. And so we thank you for this platform, and we're looking forward.
Well, we are honored. We're honored to have you. Mr. Peterson, do you want to talk a bit about this reemergence, if you will, of the culturalism, urban culturalism movement that we're honored to have this exhibit launch?
Absolutely. You know, the urban culturalism in the Pullman District, specifically in the North Pullman District, basically started in 1995, February 25th, with the opening of the museum. So, you know, we were the first and to date only Black Labor History Museum in the world that exclusively tells this content with this specific set of stories, you know, honoring the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters and the Black Labor Union. And what that did was it opened an environment and created a staple in the community, which basically is training the community on tourism. So, you know, there have been many things throughout this time period that have built upon that. Also starting with, you know, the first arts youth program in the neighborhood, which was started when Maggie Daly was still around, may she rest in peace, when she basically started the After School Matters program with the Gallery 37 program. And, you know, we were able to put together our mosaic statue outside of the museum, of which I was able to take part in as a youth. So, you know, we were able to put a trailer out there, and we were guided by professional artists, but it was basically resident, you know, children from the neighborhood, students from Corliss High School and other different schools in the neighborhood that all came together to put together this wonderful mosaic statue that still stands there today. So this was our first installation of public art, you know, in the monument on the north end. And to date, you know what I mean, that's really something we're proud of. So now as we move forward, you know, we're excited to create more art installations, because as we're moving into now, we're officially in 2017. This is the year of public art. YOPA 2017. So the Department of Chicago Department of Cultural Affairs has initiated this year-long initiative, once again, the Year of Public Art, which is basically going to be highlighting different movements throughout the entire city, which focus on public art. So we're excited to be one of those sites and one of the projects. And there, this event that we're having on the 28th basically is the launch of that.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, I heard you say something. Culture is the key, or cultural is the cure, because it's the one genre that crosses all race, economic, gender boundaries. It doesn't identify with any of those things. And it's a perfect venue or genre to embrace people and bring people together under, because it crosses all of those boundaries, and it doesn't, there's no room for all of the baggage that comes with so many other areas. And so that is why we are so very excited, Ms. Cobb, about the exhibit that your studio is bringing to the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum. We could not be more pleased, and we hope that this is not just a one-time thing. It is not our intent for it to be just a one-time occurrence, because I think that in light of all of the things that are happening in the world, we need to very rapidly get to a place where we have venues and opportunities to embrace all manner of people, Black, brown, white, whatever the case may be, because we like it or not, we're in this thing together. And so there's no getting around it. And so all of the things that are presented as a driving force in this country and in this world, they involve us all. They have an impression on us all, like it or not. And so we like to think that we are one of those rare entities who recognize the importance of unity and who recognize the importance of using the tools that you have to maximize opportunities and relate and build relationships. And so art and culture are keys, door openers for those kinds of opportunities. And I always say that God doesn't make mistakes. And so our coming together with you was a perfect timing. We didn't know you. And so that just goes to show you that it's not our plan. So you were brought to us for a reason, and we intend to follow the instructions that the universe is giving us by doing what we're supposed to do and utilizing art and culture to bring people together to dismiss a lot of the nonsense that is impacting us all.
Yes, I agree. Thank you so much.
You are most welcome. And again, the reception, there's an opening reception for the opening of the exhibit. Once again, it is will be held on January the 28th at the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum from 4 to 8. And here's a shameless plug. It is a fundraiser for the museum, but the exhibit from Ancestry Moon will be in residence at the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum for 2 weeks. The first exhibit, I will say, because we anticipate another coming in the very near future, but that exhibit will be in residence at the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum. I believe it's January. Mr. Peterson, do you have those dates? I think it's January 30th, 31st.
Yeah, absolutely. So the exhibit hours, once again, are January 30th through February 1st, 12 to 7 p.m., and February 9th through 11th, 5 to 8 p.m. But just so for the people that don't have enough time to write all of that down, you know, very, very swiftly, please just visit our website, PullmanPorterMuseum.com. Or the event, the direct event website, which is cultureisthecure.eventbrite.com. Once again, that's cultureisthecure.eventbrite.com.
So when they go to PullmanPorterMuseum.com, you click on events, and that'll take you to a page that provides all of that information for you. Again, that's PullmanPorterMuseum.com, and click on the events tab. That will provide you with as much information as you could possibly use. I'm going to circle back to you, Ms. Cobb. Is there anything that you would like to talk about or promote with reference to Ancestry Moon? This is an opportunity for you to do so if you like.
Well, I take on students with absolutely no skills. I have people that have joined our artist community, coming in not knowing how to paint, and developing a style and a technique. So the myth of being an artist and coming in as an artist is false. You come in, you get set up. I start you off with the basic materials. We work on standard 16 by 20 canvas. Art instruction is as low as $10 an hour. And as you grow and you move into the beginning stages, you get into your intermediate level and you get into your advanced. I have students that have been painting with me for 4 years that I consider now like a colleague because they have moved and advanced so well. I couldn't be more proud to watch the growth, to watch their experiences unfold on canvas. It's the most beautiful and emotional thing to see one grow from nothingness to greatness. And I tell them, I say, you have not painted your best picture yet. And that you will see when we bring our collection to Pullman Porter Museum. So our excitement is bubbling, and we're looking forward to this partnership and looking forward to this being something that's annually done. It's needed. It's long overdue, and there are so many artists that I have a waiting list for people to get into the studio because there is a hunger there. And so there's only one of me, but I'm ready to take them on. So, So we're ready on our end, and we can't wait to show you and show the South Side of Chicago what Ancestry Moon is all about and what we've been doing the last 4 years together, collectively as a group, as a growing artist community.
Well, this has been a very interesting show. I hope that it was an informative show, and I could not be more pleased. And thank you, Ms. Cobb, for not only for the collaboration that we have embarked upon, but I also thank you for your work. Most people think, you know, when they see things and they hear of people like us, they think that it's all very easy, but it isn't. You have to be a person who's willing to give of yourself, recognize the talents that God has given you, and recognize that you have a obligation and a responsibility to use those talents and gifts that he has given to you for the greater good. And sometimes more often than not, it's not about you. It's about the assignment that you have been given. And I thank you personally on behalf of the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum. We thank you for your willingness to be obedient and follow those instructions to fulfill the assignment that you have been given.
Yes.
We are going to take a quick break and come back and close out our show. And once again, thank you very, very much, Ms. Cobb.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Today's show is partially underwritten by United Auto Workers, Local 551, and Hughes Peterson Publishing, Chicago, Illinois. Well, welcome back, and we are out of time. We want to close, and once again, we want to thank our listening audience for joining us and sharing your Sunday with us. I want to thank my co-host, Mr. David A. Peterson, Jr., president of the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum, our guests on Around the Museum Table, Miss Alina Cobb of Ancestry Moon's Art Studio, our special thanks to our engineer, Mr. Don Newsom, our producer, Keisha Shavers, and assistant producer, David Peterson. I thank you all to our sponsors. Most important, United Auto Workers, Local 551, the Chicago Neighborhood Initiative, the Pullman Messenger Magazine, and Hughes Peterson Publishing. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we will see you again next time on Pullman National Monument.
Live from Pullman National Monument was brought to you by Hughes Peterson Publishing in Chicago, Illinois. Hosted by Dr. Lynn Hughes and produced by Dr. McIntyre Evans.